Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Stahl with another in our Journey series, interviews with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers. Today, we continue our conversation with Annie Lamott.
You have been on a journey. You do have a chapter where you talk about broken things, and you talk about your car, your Volkswagen. But you're also quite open about the broken things in your life. Mm-hmm. You talk about your overcoming alcoholism mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. You talk about bulimia. Mm-hmm. You talk about practical things like mm-hmm. the antis, getting comfortable with your body. Mm-hmm. How did it come to you that Jesus was part of every aspect of your life, that there was a whole new thing going to happen in your life that was going to touch on everything in your life?
Well, it didn't come to me. It's been very incremental. Because I internalized so many messages about me that said I wasn't okay, that I wasn't doing this right, that I was thinking about that too much, that I wasn't thinking about this nearly enough. You know, as I wrote about in one essay, I was 35 when I discovered B pluses were a good grade, so I had a pretty skewered sense of life. But so I always thought when I had first converted that I was just a really bad Christian, because I would feel a lot of anguish over my body, because I'm just sort of, I mean, I'm thin-ish, but I'm sort of flabby, and I'm not like major, you know, Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover material, let's say. And so it took me a long time to understand that God wasn't saying, look, forget it then. If you're going to think about your size, we don't want you, it turns out, you know. And that I don't think God has a borderline personality. I think that the message of God, as I understand it, is that whatever the stuff is that is troubling you and making you feel crazy and obsessed and awful and less than and cut off from is just opportunity. It's opportunity for God to say, look, whatever, you know, that you're not going to think your way into feeling better, but that if you take the action, if you take the loving, godly action, the insight's going to follow and peace will follow.
In this book, you talk really quite a bit about death and how Jesus has been with you through the death of some dear friends, mm-hmm. through the fear of cancer mm-hmm. in Sam, mm-hmm. your son, mm-hmm. a mole mm-hmm. that you had examined, mm-hmm. where you went through all of the fear. How does Jesus work with you around those issues of life and death matters?
Well, usually I immediately go into self-management and control and trying to figure out a way out, you know. And when Sam had this cancer scare a couple years ago, a priest friend of mine, a Jesuit, said, every so often it's good to remember how little we're actually in charge of. And I said, yes, I'm sure that's true for you. However, I need to be in charge of this one thing. And he said, you know what, you're not. And so I had several hours where I forgot that no matter what happened, that I was safer in the worst storm in a boat with Jesus than anywhere I could try to get by myself. So I had several hours where I felt crazy, just crazy. And then I remembered I believe in God, and that I believe in God mostly in the incredibly tender and accepting care of friends and believers and the people I go to church with. And when I went, oh, right, I believe in God. Oh, I pray. Oh, right. And then I started, and by the time I picked Sam up that first day at school, I was actually okay, because I thought, whatever happens, I won't be cut off from my source of...
But you know, one of the reasons I think people are loving this book is, again, the authenticity, the fact that you talk about the wrestlings that you have. This one sentence when you first heard the doctor say that Sam might need more tests, could be cancer, you say, I felt the top of my head detach, lift up, blow away like a painter's paper cap. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about describing mm-hmm. the absolute terror mm-hmm. that any parent would have when their child is threatened. Mm-hmm. And so being with Jesus does not in any sense mean that we don't have those feelings, experience
right.
that same trauma, and go through those periods of doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always understood the basic message of Christianity was that God was not here to take away your suffering or your fear or your pain, but to fill any of that with his presence and his assurances.
A lot of the stories in here are about Sam, and one of my favorite chapters is about Ash Wednesday, where you talk about how most families would celebrate it and how you and Sam had a particularly gruesome fight that
right.
day. But you also talk about the practical little ways that Sam, who is really working through all this stuff quite independent of mother, I mean, he has moments when he's not interested at all
right.
in this Jesus thing.
Right.
But you talk about this practical little story at the Sea of Cortez, the dolphins and the seals,
yeah.
where God just made himself known to you and to Sam in a real special way.
Yeah. Well, it was a wonderful story. You know, Sam really does, he automatically believes in Jesus. He just assumes Jesus, like other people might assume gravity is true because their parents are so sure about it. But like, he'll torture me sometimes. He'll go, well, you know, I still love Jesus, but now I love all the gods. And I go, oh, and which gods are those? He'll go, well, I love all the Greek and Roman gods now. I go, oh, and can you name a single name of a Greek and Roman god? And he can't, of course, and he's mad, and then he slams the door. But when we were in Mexico, he wanted so desperately to take this one excursion where you swim with the seals. And the tide, we were many, many miles out, and the tide was too strong for us. And then his flipper came off. And we had to go back to the boat, and he couldn't do it. He was too small and hypothermic, and it was just such a nightmare. And then the seals came to him, you know, and the seals surrounded him on this tour boat, and they were barking. He was laughing his head off, and then on the way home, there must have been literally 1,000 dolphins running, you know, swimming alongside the boat, leaping, and it was like a fireworks show that just wouldn't stop. And, you know, it was... when we got home to our room, I said, I really want you to write about this. Well, he hates writing. It's just his worst subject, coincidentally. And he wrote, I went to see the seals, but I could not make it to the shore. But the seals came to me. But that line, when he wrote, but I could not make it to the shore, I actually had to leave the room because it just pierced me. It was so painful, and I thought, it's really the story, you know, is that you want this one thing, and you think if you have it, you'll be happy, and for whatever reasons, your size or your weight or your smallness or the cold or something meant you couldn't have what you thought was going to do it for you. And God doesn't ever say, well, sorry then. If you were bigger, I could have gotten you the seals. But God says, better. I got something better, cooler, something you're never going to forget.
When you work through, when Sam says, I like all the gods now,
right.
and you're a very embracing person, how do you work through the all the gods, the other religious faiths, when people say, well, that's nice for you, Annie, but, I mean, you have something so real with Jesus. Do you still kind of, I mean, there is within American religion today kind of whichever way you can get to God, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, the many paths. How do you work through all of that? Recognizing that you've already said you're not a systematic theologian.
Well, I don't actually work through it. You know, I don't find that there's anything to work through for me. I don't, first of all, again, you ask me, but otherwise, nobody ever asks me, and people never actually want to know. And I just assume that what I'm supposed to do is to talk about what happened for me and what was true for me, and it's odd, it doesn't make any sense, and it just happens to be the way things shook down in my life. And so I feel like what I can say is, if you want what I have now, you should do what I do, which is that I go to church, you know, and I pray and I read the Bible and I call my pastor whenever I reach a certain level of mental illness, and we pray about it over the phone, then I feel better.
What are you hoping happens because people read your own story?
That's a really good question. I can answer it. I don't know is the answer. Is that I find that when I think I know the answer and I pray for something, and if I get it, I'm shortchanging myself. So I try not to pray for certain outcomes, and to really, I put everything in this little God box. I write notes to God. I say, here, you take this too. You take this. Oh, could you do me? Could you take? But I was in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, and an older woman came up to me, and I'd been talking half about God and half about writing. And this woman said, I've really lost my way. And I thought she meant about writing. I can't remember what she may have said that made me think that. And I said, oh, well, I started giving her writing advice. And she said, no, the other, you know. And so I said, well, you know, Augustine said that to look for God is to have found God, or to seek God is to have found God. And if you really want a faith, if you want faith again, pray again, and go to church again, or find somebody else that you could sit with who has faith. And she said, well, I'm afraid it won't happen. But I said, well, look, I will really pray for you for the next few days. And I took her name. Her name was Mary. I wrote an M on the crook of my fingers, M. I said, see, I wrote it on my skin. I'm going to be praying for you for the next few days. And she just started crying. She said, well, why would you do that? I said, because, you know, you're just one of God's children, and it'll make you so happy to find your way home again, like I did.
This concludes our conversation with Annie Lamott. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.